This is the Valley Outdoors, and glad you guys are joining us in it. We got a fun show today. We're going to be talking a little bit about the wolf plan in Minnesota and a little known fact about a local skier that's done good on the circuit. So a lot of cool stuff. Ava's here. Don's here. And we are going to have some fun in this cold and chilly morning. So hang in there. Be right back. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors Radio Show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Morning, Don. Morning, Ava.
Good morning.
So it looks like we are in the midst of winter.
It has arrived, yes.
It's a very white Christmas, if you will.
I'm not complaining. It's white everywhere, and I love it. Went skiing this last week, and cold, but I did not get cold. Properly dressed. The snow was fantastic, and believe it or not, there was no ice. It was all just nice, firm snow.
Nice.
Yeah. And, of course, nobody else was out.
You had the hill all to yourself, huh?
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's what I need, you know. The last time I was out, the scariest part is having kids zooming by all over the place, you know. And I don't want to – not that I'm afraid of them running into me. I'm more afraid of them what happens when they hit me.
I will say this.
And it ain't about me.
Scary story. True story. This last weekend, I was out, and I teach for Blizzard Ski School. And I was out in one of the last – towards the end of the day, and I was making a run towards the bottom of the hill and just had been doing some testing with some of the kids. And there's four instructors we took off. I was the lead instructor heading down the hill, right just at the base, towards the base of the hill. Kid came from my, out of sight, on my rear, to my right-hand side, out of sight, and went literally, flew past me, missed me by no more than 4 inches. I felt his jacket. Went over the tops of my skis and right to a lift line. My skis have a gouge, and I mean a gouge out of the tip. The instructor that was behind me thought I was going to be dead. It was that close. And I thought,
that's what I'm talking about.
But I didn't have a hit him. He was out of, like, flying past me, and I thought, what in the world is that all about?
No, because, you know, I'm so tiny, and I go down the hill so fast, and these kids go faster. I think I'm doing 30, and they're coming by Mach 2.
Oh, yeah, and unfortunately, the kid was a race kid, and I went and had a little conversation with him, explained to him the scenario that we both probably would have been leaving in an ambulance if we would have collided.
Right.
So, yeah, that was not a good experience. But nonetheless, the skiing is fantastic. Get out and enjoy it. And just get out and enjoy the outdoors. Great snowshoeing right now.
Snowmobiling?
Snowmobiling, four-wheeling, just ice fishing. Now you can go out and have fun. Ice fishing, right. You don't have to worry about it. No more floating iceberg things.
No, that's not for certain.
Now, what I will tell you, I've had several situations where electric socks they've reached the point of dependability, and they work. Unbelievable. No matter what you do in the outdoors, if you didn't get it for Christmas, if you take that gift that you think was just so nice, or at least you told your family, I love it, this is fantastic. In the meanwhile, when you're done with Christmas, you go, I don't know why I got it. Bring it back and get yourself some electric socks. They're rechargeable packs that stick on your boot. I'm telling you right now, you are not going to believe how much it changes your opinion of the outdoors. I've got friends that can't stand being outside. They just got the socks, went skiing the cold, cold day, and they said, I can do this. I can ski and be comfortable now.
Are they thin enough for ski boots?
Absolutely.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. They My impression of what they were always quite thick.
No,
yeah, I've got, you know, the battery-powered ones. Do these actually go over the toe, or are they, like, on the ball of your foot? Because
they cover, there's heating elements across the whole top of your foot.
Okay.
And
because mine just go on the ball of my foot, and I'm like, I don't want it there. No. I want it on my toes.
Well, it needs to be on the top of the foot, too, because the blood flow coming from the top of the foot to the toe.
Sure.
That's one of the biggest issues that comes into play. And I'm telling you.
And the other question I have, are they adjustable?
Yeah,
can you completely. Turn them up or down?
Oh, you do it on your phone, Don. I'm not joking.
Perfect.
You adjust it.
So, like, what are we looking at for a pair of socks?
Yeah,
here?
What's it going to be?
They're about $200.
Oh.
$100 a foot?
Well, you guys, get this.
How do you wash them?
They have a bag. You put them in a bag. You just put them in the washer. Huh. It's awesome. And they are worth it. Don't tell me that you're not going to spend $200 and some on a pair of boots to go outside in the winter, right?
I already have the boots.
What I'm saying is if you're uncomfortable outside and this makes it comfortable, it's worth every penny.
See, that's the only way I would consider is if I could use them in my ski boots.
Absolutely. You can put them in anything you want.
The boots I've got, my feet don't get cold.
Well, I'm telling you, if you stand in the ice long enough, if you stand in the ice long enough or you're out in the cold long enough, not doing anything or not moving, or you have a constriction in your ski boot, it is well worth
it. It's always hunting for me.
There you go. Yeah. Sending in a deer stand.
Sitting there.
Because it's the first thing.
That would make sense there.
If your hands or feet. Now, the other thing is you have heated gloves, too. They have the same thing that's on the same pack. Heated pack, and you can adjust it with your phone as well.
So how much are gloves?
Nice. Probably $100 a hand.
They're not. I think they're about that. $100, something like that. But
so to get the whole thing. $400.
One of them is they made by Lenz, L-E-N-Z. So, kind of cool. One little local update I wanted to talk to mention it in the intro. The wolf plan, Don, you sent this to me a couple days ago. The DNR has a wolf management plan that are incorporating Minnesotan views with a guide that is going to be guiding the state's approach to wolf conservation. The plan describes and provides guidance on the population monitoring, population management, depredation control, public safety, and more. The current plan was finalized in 2022 and will guide wolf management for 10 years. And the emphasis is on cooperation and collaboration with tribal, federal, state, local governments, non-governmental organizations, and partners. The goals in the plan incorporate extensive public input, perspectives of Minnesotans about wolves, while adhering to the statutes guiding Minnesota wolf management. Six of the goals: maintain connection with the population, collaborate with partners, minimize and address wolf conflict, inform and engage the public about wolves, conduct research to inform wolf management, and last but not least, administer the wolf program to fulfill agency responsibility it needs. So we'll be watching that pretty carefully because I know there's a lot of changes that have been going around across the United States on the wolf situation as they've increased and changed their range, as it were. So kind of one of those things that we're going to be keeping watch. Hang tight. We're going to come back. We're talking a little bit about some Chinook stocking that's going on in Michigan that interests a lot of the Great Lakes anglers. Be right back. Well, Donald, lots of stuff going on everywhere.
Yes.
And I'm just, you know, when we had that snowfall, and of course, the nice part about this, we broadcast from Pierce, South Dakota to Kalamazoo, Michigan.
And I think everybody is experiencing
say everybody's got the snow. So I'm safe in saying when you look outside and right now, looking out the studio window, you know, the sun's coming up and you look outside, it's white in the trees, white in the ground. I just love it. I really do.
At least it's beautiful.
It is awesome.
Like I told my wife, pretty sure it's going to be a white Christmas this year.
That's
very, very white.
That's a Roger that deal.
Yeah.
One of our coworkers, he goes, somebody was really praying hard for a white Christmas this year.
Yeah, well, they did a good job.
There is that. But we don't want to forget, obviously, when things come around to the more of the open water, warm weather fishing season, big story coming out of Indiana and Lake Michigan there next year in 2023. In the spring, the Indiana Department of Natural Resources is going to be increasing the stocking of Chinook salmon in Lake Michigan. The DNR announced they'll be increasing the stocking level of Chinook by 50,000 fish in 2023.
So is that a lot?
50,000 fish, that's a lot. In accordance with the Lake Michigan agreement to increase the Chinook salmon stocking all across the lake, the bump up at 50,000 will increase the annual production set from 225 to 275,000. So that's a significant increase, which is really pretty cool. Now, this is the fun part about it, Don. This is where the balance comes in. The bait fish species population has rebounded in the past decade from an all-time low in the mid-2010s. So therefore, obviously, that is now going to provide the opportunity for these fish. That was facilitated, the increase in that the bait fish species, by salmon stocking level reduction. So they reduced the salmon stocking. They did that, and all the state agencies on Lake Lanier for the past decade, lake biologists for Lake Michigan, Ben Dickinson, said the bait population coming back has improved the predator-prey balance. With the prey population up, salmon stockings can increase, and this should benefit for anglers the next few years. Biologists will be continuing to monitor the levels in case they need for further adjustment, and they should be realizing the increase in stocking does increase predation pressure, and it may increase future risk to the bait fish population. So they have to watch it closely, and they've been looking to add additional salmon eggs to meet the new production target within the hatcheries. Indiana doesn't have the infrastructure to take salmon eggs, so partnerships are crucial. He said, we're grateful to Michigan DNR partners for allowing us to get the eggs, and fish fry from Michigan eggs will be raised in the hatchery stocked in April 2023. Chinook fingerlings will spend 1 to 3 years feeding and growing in the lake before returning to their stocking sites as mature spawning adults.
So these are not fingerlings, they're stocking. These are full-size
adults. Yeah, they're fingerlings that they're stocking, but they'll come back in 1 to 3 years because they grow at a crazy rate.
Okay.
So
very cool.
I think that's one of those things where you're kind of like, that is cool.
Yeah.
You ever caught salmon on a not heavy rod and reel, like a fly rod?
Not on a fly rod, no.
That's the most incredible thing. If you ever want to try it, Lake Superior fly fishing, and not necessarily fly fishing, but drift fishing with yarn fly is what we actually use. Caught 24 and a half pound, and the day we went out, we ended at 24 and a half. We had a 17. We had multiple 15s and 14s, and actually at the end of the day, I got done. I sat down. I said, I'm done. I can't catch any. I'm worn out, absolutely worn out. They are a beast, and I was on a 7-weight fly rod, which wasn't easy.
Mm-hmm. But well, that's the fun. That's why you enjoy fishing, is the fight.
It is
the battle.
Well, you know what? Why do I enjoy fishing? It's also the challenge.
The challenge.
Finding them, because that's just part of it.
Being out there, fresh air. There's a lot of camaraderie.
There is. So, Don, I thought it would behoove us.
Okay, behoove.
Yeah. To give people ideas, and if they don't like the Christmas gifts that they got, they can always return them. And get something really good. You go along with me on that?
I've never done that, but
I'm providing an opportunity for you, Don.
I'm gathering. Yeah.
Okay. These are real gifts. They are available to be purchased. Can of dehydrated water.
Can you go in depth on that one a little bit?
Oh, more? It's labeled it dehydrated water. Yeah.
That's a good one.
We'll leave it at that.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to use the appropriate words for this one.
Okay.
I just crapped in the woods sanitizer. This actually is a personal sanitizer. It has the appropriate label on it. Doesn't say quite what I said, but that also is a gift that you can buy for if you have
How
to.
How much?
$6.99. Yeah. The hydrated water is a little bit more because it's in a tin. That's $14.
How am I going to find it if I don't know what to Google?
You Google can of dehydrated water.
I'm looking for this hand sanitizer.
Just punch it in and you'll come up.
Okay. I believe they all said Amazon.
Okay. Could be. Yeah, it could be.
Right here.
Yeah, it does. I know. I found it other places too, but I'm not here. We're not promoting Amazon in any way.
No, I'm just trying to make it easy for
them. Yeah. For them to find them. So you're looking for hand sanitizer.
I just pooped in the woods.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the next one is I just pooped in the woods in an environmentally sound approach to the lost art. It's a book for $11.99. It's an award-winning book packed with information of all types of for all types of outdoor enthusiasts that have issues going in the woods.
Technique, you mean?
Yeah.
Some tips and tricks.
Yep. Yeah, Mad Libs.
We'll need to know there.
Mad Libs worst case scenario survival handbook. You guys, I didn't print it off. I tried to print it off and I couldn't. This is the funniest thing you've ever seen. You want to go out on an adventure, but can help them fill in the blanks for what to do in the worst case scenario. So you have a blank and what to do if the situation comes up. It's the funniest thing you've ever seen. Honestly, you could play a game with it.
Is it a book?
It's Ad Lib. Have you ever done Ad Lib?
Ad Libs. It's called Mad Libs. Yeah.
Oh.
It's $1.99. Pretty nice.
Oh.
Yep. Campfire Cologne. It's a combination of campfire, gunpowder, sagebrush, whiskey, and basically it's a great weekend camping smell. That way you'll love smelling like you've been camping, even if you haven't.
Sit around the living rooms, smell like you're by a campfire, huh?
Yep. For those of you who like to partake but really don't want to put it out there that you are partaking, it's the double-sided binocular flask. It's a fun set of binoculars actually designed to hold two different types of liquor, perfect for campers who like to birdwatch and have an adult beverage.
Nice.
This one was the image you have to just imagine, shark sleeping bag. It looks like the shark is eating whoever's in it, and it is outstanding. I will say that. The beer belly fanny pack, it actually looks like a beer belly, and it is large. And will go under your shirt so you can just kind of
let it all hang out.
Yep, and scratch your belly and never really have any
belly.
Yeah. But it adds in storage space so you can have whatever you want.
What do you do if you already got the belly?
It's just added padding. It's $12.99, by the way.
An added beer belly.
Mm-hmm. It's perfect. Let's see. Oh, this is a good one. Everybody's watched the National Lampoon Christmas Vacation. Mm-hmm. It's the Cousin Eddie RV figurine, that's available as well. So let me think. I got a couple others that were quite good.
Let's see.
Fishing pole campfire roaster. Oh, this one's awesome. It's a fishing rod with a wire, and you can cook four marshmallows at the same time. They're hanging off of a four-pronged thing. It's pretty cool. So practice your fishing while doing that. Last couple here. Marshmallow bow and arrow. That's fun.
That sounds dangerous.
It is. Yep. A log micro pillow, which is really cool. If you have a themed room, it actually truly looks like a log. And the last but not least, a campfire LED nightlight that actually looks like a campfire.
Well, that one you could team up with some of the other products in your living room. Go camping.
You've got, and you never have to leave your living room.
Right.
Which might be a good idea this next couple of weeks.
Right. So I got my dad something for his birthday. Have you ever heard of the bug assault rifle?
Oh, yeah.
Shoot salt pellets.
Yes.
Yes.
It's the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
So my uncle has one and we were using it at the cabin this past summer. And that's all my dad did was shoot flies.
Yep.
With this thing. I got him one for his birthday.
Did he put on the plaids and the hunting outfit and the hunting hat?
No.
At the same time? Oh.
But,
that would have been fun.
I got him the camo edition.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a camoed out.
Oh, that way the bugs can't see him.
Right. But those things are expensive.
Don.
Just so you know, if you ever look into
Is it time for a break yet?
I think so.
Let's take a break. We're going to be right back. Oh, boy.
The bug assault.
Bug assault.
Bug assault.
That would be good.
S-A-L-T.
Yep. S-A-L-T. Bug assault.
For the angler that has everything, or just thinks everything, grace your palm with the feel of a custom fishing rod made to your specs from Patriot Custom Rods. It will soon become a cherished tool in your hand, providing the sensitivity and feel you have long dreamed of. Patriot Custom Rods are specially designed to your species of fishing, rod weight, colors, grip type, and length. Treat yourself or someone else to a Patriot Custom Rod. Find us on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
You know, that bug assault thing you're talking about?
So fun.
The craziest thing is, it's a gift that keeps on giving. I mean, you can, all season long, there's no end. But what do you go after mosquitoes after you've depleted the fly supply?
Population? Well, spiders, because spiders like to come in the winter.
Yeah, but so. they
don't
move
this
fast
inside,
enough.
Do you?
Huh?
You don't shoot inside.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Done.
You get salt everywhere.
It's like 10 granules of salt that it shoots out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not like a...
Keep in mind, Don, you got to pattern. You got to go to the range to pattern that.
Yeah. Sight it in.
What distance are we good at here?
I believe they want you to be like, 6 inches away.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I've shot further than that.
You can, but to be like really accurate,
Okay.
To guarantee a kill shot.
Yeah. Well,
you don't want to leave
a
wounded
fly
wandering around.
With a stock on the end of it.
Yeah, but the fly swatter, you got to go back, you just shoot that sucker.
All right. Well, we'll check into it.
It's interesting. So, Don, I pulled an article that I know I've talked to a lot of friends about it. Whenever you get deer, whenever that might be, how to age it.
Right.
And so I pulled up an article. It's called The Science of Aging Meat. And one of the things that is important, you go to a fine steakhouse, what do they talk about?
Yep, aged beef.
Aged beef. And, storing it in a cool, dark place. Part of it is it's actually aging is controlling the decomposition of the meat is what it ends up being. So putting the cuts of meat in a cool, dark place, caves where mold, microbes, and enzymes do their work, because that's exactly how it goes. And everybody's like, oh, that sounds terrible. Yeah, but you know what? It makes the meat so tender and so tasty. So managing the decay, it begins the process when the animal dies. The enzymes and the muscles begin to digest the glucose molecules called glycogen, and it breaks those down. And it softens it up and makes it not tough. And the more you let that age, the better it is. So livestock slaughterhouses, they'll let the animals bleed out. And they want to remove as much blood as possible, similar to fish. We bleed out a fish. Same concept. You don't have that bad taste. And obviously rigor mortis sets in. It stiffens up and those kind of things happen. But after about 48 hours, the onset of rigor, enzymes called calpain and cathepsins begin to break down the protein, binding the muscle filaments and dismantle everything that connects the muscles together.
The tissue.
Yep, the tissues together. So where does the flavor and the tenderness come in? As that process continues, the flavor is going to increase and so does the tenderness of the meat. So that's a very fine line. As the proteins are broken down, I'm not going to go into all this stuff, but you've heard of amino acids and that kind of thing comes into play. When everything is dismantled and it starts to go into glucose, which are sugars, they are the caramelizing browning on seared meat. You've seen that.
Right.
That's also known as the Maillard reaction. Fat turns into an aromatic fatty acid. So you following us? We're decaying. We're degrading, but not degrading the meat. We're degrading the toughness and increasing the flavor at that point. Now, this is the key. The length of time you can age a piece of meat depends on the type and the amount of fat in the animal. So, more fat allows for extended aging due to slow moisture loss and more significant protective barrier around the meat. So, therefore, if you look at deer, there's a lot less fat than there would be in a
bear or something like that.
Big or cow or whatever that mm-hmm. might be. So proper aging comes in. You can make a situation hold true if your dry aging process, you regulate humidity, you regulate temperature. Temperature should range between 34 and 40 degrees, humidity about 70 to 90, and ensuring the meat stays above freezing but below 40 degrees. And that allows the bacteria to do its work. And really, the whole point really comes down to it is a modern method of aging. It's not an old method by any means. And one of the ways you could do it also is put it into a vacuum seal bag. The same thing works. And you can move it to the appropriate temperature that you want to create the aging. And the funny part about it is you age it, you're decaying it, and you pay more for an aged beef piece of meat, and it tastes better the older it is.
Well, that's because there's been a lot of control put into watching it and keeping everything at the right temperatures and
yep.
and darkness. Do they give you any idea what an average deer would hang?
No, it's just in general terms. They don't give you anything other than that. But
okay.
Yeah, it's one of the things that you can do, though, they talked about it, to maintain constant temperatures, and especially if it's cold, is you can convert a refrigerator into an aging cooler. So you can maintain consistent temperature, which is really cool. And in this particular case, in all else, a few days of hanging in a semi-chilled, well-ventilated garage will do wonders for any game animal.
Hey, by the way, bug assault, 1 to 2 feet.
There you go. See? There you go. Long-range shots. Got to get a scope for that distance. All right, you guys. Hope you had a great Christmas weekend, and we're looking forward to talking to you guys next week. Hang in there. Have a good one. See ya.